Hi. Thanks again to everyone for coming today. It's been really heartening and amazing to hear the amount of enthusiasm about this event. So today, as Steve has flagged and as I will talk, I'm essentially talking about God is good, but life's still hard. My email address is up there. One of the things I'm really hoping from today is that this can be the start of a conversation. As you will realize, faith and mental health are my two happy places. And I would love nothing more than to go out into your churches and start conversations and help you in any way I possibly can with this issue that has so shaped, particularly lately, and defined and made my life better. It would be my utter privilege. If we can go to the next slide. So clarifying points. This is hard. Mental ill health, as I flagged earlier, is a really, really challenging issue, and I hope today can be, particularly in the questions, a safe and loving space where we can be honest with some of the struggles that we, both personally and in our work, encounter. I also want to thank, as Steve did, anyone with a lived experience, particularly those who've come today. You face troubles that the world doesn't often recognise and the world doesn't see. But you struggle and you persevere and you do amazing things every day. And it's my privilege to work with and help you. Quick little anecdote and thanks. In the short time that I've been a Christian, I've been enveloped with an amazing love by three communities in particular. The ANU Focus community, Crossroads and Good Shepherd Anglican are my three homes in Canberra. And I'm very, very grateful to anyone who's here and who has helped me. If we can go to the next slide. I'm going to start off today with a few quick definitions. I'm an academic, as Steve mentioned. I'll be going through some ideas of who experiences, just to show you the global nature of mental ill health. Then a little bit on our mental health system. And then after Andrew's talked and after the break, I'm going to be going through some specific conditions and some sort of do's and don'ts from the literature and from the academics about what we can do, particularly in a Christian context, to help those who experience mental ill health. So, mental health is a state of emotional well-being. It's ideally good behavioural adjustment. It's relative freedom from anxiety and debilitating symptoms. We don't imagine, and we're not fortunate enough to live in a world where anyone can be happy all the time. I guess that's for the next life. But so we're going with a relative freedom as our model. It's the capacity to establish constructive relationships and cope with the ordinary demands and stresses of life. However, as we all know, life's not that simple and life's not that neat. And so that's when we come to mental disorders or mental illnesses. Those two terms and mental ill health, I will use those terms interchangeably. There are slight technicalities between them if we're going to get academic, but for today, they can be interchangeable terms. Mental disorder is psychological symptoms, is abnormal behaviours, is impaired functioning, and most importantly is that last paragraph there. Such disorders may cause clinically significant distress and impairment in a variety of domains and may be due to genetic, social, organic, chemical or psychological factors, and I'll go through in a little while some of the factors that might lead to mental ill health. The note there on God's role. I do believe, come today from a range of sort of faith traditions and theological understandings about this. Just to clarify where I'm coming from, I meet, as you can tell, the academic and theological, or at least try to. God does work miracles. I'm not a cessationist. However, I don't believe that laying hands on someone can necessarily cure them. What I do fundamentally believe is God refines us through suffering. I have found more meaning in the last 6 months of my own suffering than I have in 17 years of suffering mental ill health in the secular world, because every time I'm blessed with a trial, God has helped me and God has taught me and God has refined me. And I believe that's what he does with mental ill health. He causes us to have more dependence on our both brothers and sisters in Christ and on him than in many cases we would have without. I can't relate to a mentally healthy life. I've actually never lived it. So some of my anecdotes and some of my things will perhaps not make sense. And for that, I apologize and ask your grace. If we can go to the next slide. Who experiences mental ill health? It's always bigger than you think. One in five Australians will experience symptoms of a mental disorder in any 12-month period. I don't know the stats of the number of people in this room, but I can count across the rows. Specifically, when we break that down, anxiety disorders make up 14.4% of those. I'll go through anxiety specifically later. Affective disorders, depression being the most common, but also including things like bipolar disorder, which is my illness, schizophrenia and a few others, are encompassed in what we call affective disorders. And they're 6.2%. So this is overall population. Then substance use disorders, something I actually won't cover today. But again, happy to chat about it and happy to do some research on it and bring stuff to you guys. Is 5.1%. 4.3% of theirs is alcohol-related. I imagine those of you who work in our communities see quite a lot of that. Australia, in particular, has one of the largest alcohol problems in the world. Particularly, I want to make the point for those of you who work with youth that the prevalence decreases with age. One of the things my friends get used to me doing is when they reach 25 and they haven't developed a mental ill health problem, I throw parties. I get really excited when that happens because it's not that common. That said, we do, of course, see it increasing in prevalence later on, and that's where you've got that 5.9% of people aged over 65. So it does continue to happen. Just a note on where I'm getting these stats from. I don't like putting references on slides. I find it messy. This particular set of statistics, for those who are interested, is from the 2007 Australian Bureau of Statistics Survey of Health and Wellbeing. So the stats are 8 years old. It's the most recent collection we have. Come back in 2 years and I can give you brand new stats, and I'd love to. So risk factors for mental illness. One of the strongest is having a biological relative with mental illness. This very, very much runs in biological families. Experiences in the womb, that's things like people, mothers drinking, abuse or stress while a woman is pregnant can lead to. I want to gently emphasise that that's not necessarily a reason to restrict women's activities while they're pregnant, and I'm not in any way an advocate of that, but it is an understanding that prenatal factors do have a really big impact. And then postnatally, as we grow up, stressful life situations can lead to things. Chronic medical conditions. A lot of people with cancer or with any long-term medical conditions will develop mental health conditions as well. Brain damage, sort of chronic accidents, can really happen. Similar to stressful life situations, traumatic experiences can. There's been a lot of stuff in the media recently about the rate of suicide in our veterans, which is particularly relevant to our Canberra community. PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, again, not something I'll cover specifically today, but something that is incredibly traumatic. Unusual and traumatic life experiences lead to it. Use of illegal drugs, one of our clearest understandings of the etiology and the development of schizophrenia is through marijuana use. And being abused or neglected as a child. Treat your children well. Help seeking. People aren't seeking help. Again, from national statistics, only 35% of people with a mental disorder had used a mental health service. So that's people with a diagnosable mental illness. That's not people in the community. That's not people at risk. That's people with a diagnosed mental illness do not seek help. They are suffering. They are suffering day to day in some extreme situations, and yet they do not seek help. So when we talk about prevention, we talk about trying to get people to services before things become an issue. We've got so far to go. I also want to make the point that one of the stereotypes and one of the ideas we hear about mental ill health is that people go to psych wards. It's a lot rarer than you think. Our psychiatric wards and our psychiatric hospitals are incredibly useful, don't get me wrong, but admissions are much rarer and much more severe than we think. And so I just want to tie that back into churches before I finish and hand over to Andrew, and that our churches are places where people come and share their lives on a weekly basis, in our small groups, in our services, in our communities. And to those of you who have been Christians for a long time, I think it's often easy to miss how rare and how important that is. One of the things that got me to Christ was that I'd broken up with a partner of 2 years and was completely lost, and an old friend who was a Christian, been trying to convert me for years, basically just gave up and said, hey, you need somewhere to go on a Sunday. Try church. The cause and effect happened slightly differently in the end, but this past week I've been very, very sick with anxiety, and I didn't want to go to church on Sunday, and I very much didn't want to go to Bible study on Tuesday. They have been the highlights of my week, being cared for and being loved, and that unconditional acceptance that being a sister of people in Christ is phenomenal. And I can't tell you how useful it has been, and I can't tell you how valuable the work you do is. And that particularly ties into the help seeking. When we see people on a weekly basis, and when we see people, we can notice changes in their behaviour, which is so much harder to do when you see them either in a workplace, because we all hide in a workplace, or when you only see them sporadically, as we more often do with friends. We have opportunities that the rest of the world doesn't have, and that's one of the things I'm so passionate about. As I said, when I come back, I'll cover depression, and I'll get more into a bit more of the specifics about how we can help people and give you some ideas. Over to you, Andrew.